Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Simcast, your weekly venue for racing virtually. You join me on the planet Venus because it's slightly cooler than when we were on Mercury a couple of days ago, and slightly cooler when we were literally on the surface of the sun. Jordan is alongside me and can vouch for the heat. Hello, Jordan.
Hello. It feels like I've been having a shower in Mustafa. Like, my skin has slowly been... You know the... to move over to another franchise, you know when the guy drinks from the wrong Holy Grail and his skin melts?
Yes.
That's how I felt.
Yes.
So hello, everyone.
Hello again from the Mustafa Holy Grail. Hang on a minute. Which one of us has the high ground?
There is a Ben in here. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, and speaking to us from the high ground.
Yes, here in my air-conditioned...
Hello, old man office. Ben Kenobi.
Hello. You're calling me old, that's rich.
I know. Whoop.
I've accepted this lot in life, that I'll always be either called Ben Kenobi, they will make clock jokes... they'll ask if I'm related to Benjamin Franklin. Someone will sing Benny and the Jets to my face, or and my sister.
Oh, well, that's coming on our Christmas show.
Oh, darn it. What have I done?
Stop.
I regret everything. And I've told my sister that she's not permitted to let my nieces and nephew refer to me as Uncle Ben because I don't want to die.
How is your cooking?
Anyway, this is the Simcast, where we do occasionally talk about racing news.
Increasingly rarely. But that's part of our charm. If we stuck to the subject matter every single day, we'd be dry like many other shows on the radio. Not this radio station, of course. This radio station.
No, of course not.
Quality coverage from start to finish on all three channels.
Mm-hmm. What episode is it, Matt?
Through my bleary, sweat-filled eyes, it's episode 29. I'm bigging it up a bit more. It's actually a lot cooler today, thankfully, but I've just opened the windows in vain hope of getting a beautiful draft through. The caress of the cool breeze of nature is not occurring at the moment. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? It sounds like somebody's farting through the window, which is...
It even sounds like someone's farting through your window or someone's crawling through and slightly touching your face. And either one of these makes me deeply uncomfortable.
I mean, the first one, the temperature's about probably the same.
Hey, just as long as your cat doesn't light your house on fire again.
Yeah.
If any of you out there have experienced somebody farting through your window, would you share it?
I'd be quite impressed if they did, because I'm on a second floor. We need to bring a ladder.
Well, I'm on the first floor in our recording studio, so yeah. You can get a hold of us at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL. Do not use the hashtag fart radio or something equally.
SimArsRSL.
God. My tea just went down the wrong pipe. Can't take it.
You've got to stop waterboarding yourself with tea again.
Oh, you mean Simcas?
That's the most British form of torture.
It's green tea. I don't
drip, drip, the gentle drip, drip, drip of Earl Grey. Yeah. Oh, that sounds
wrong. Tips
as well.
Monkey really wants the information that you've got.
I'm okay.
That's another pint of squash gone. Oh, hydrate.
Yes.
Very important. Keep doing it, people. Just because it's gotten a couple of degrees cooler, don't stop.
Don't stop. Hydrate.
I will kick you from this call.
he got there before me. I'm glaring at his glowing name on the screen in utter disgust and disdain in equal measure.
Now you know what it's like to have Jordan on your...
Ouch.
Wow.
From one hot burn to another hot thing.
Yes.
Let's talk Forza Horizon 5, because...
Hot Wheels.
Yeah, segue completed.
We're even. Blimey. I'm confused at what I'm looking at here. Because...
Specifically what, Matthew?
The map for it, for one thing. It looks like the floating islands from Sonic the Hedgehog.
It pretty much is, yeah.
Yeah.
Their idea for this is that you access the world by being shot up a really large ramp, and you're basically like 50 miles. But if you look below the Hot Wheels world, you will see the Horizon Mexico map. It's quite funny. I haven't yet checked to see whether you can see the Hot Wheels Island really, really high up in the sky from the ground. But...
I have not either, but I have checked to see if you can.
The Halo on Halo, then.
Yeah, I have checked to see if you can drive off the end of the Hot Wheels map to get to Mexico. You cannot.
Aww.
At least I haven't figured out the way to do it yet, if there is one. And it wasn't completely on purpose when I did it.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
But no, this expansion is quite mad. It is. Like, it's...
Tell me about it, because I can't see it. My brain doesn't work when it comes to Forza 5.
So essentially, it's split into, like, there's a central area in the middle of this map, which is, like, the Horizon, like, festival location. It's where you get all the cars, and then surrounding it are three biomes. So you got like a sandy one, a snowy one, and a foresty one, and it's filled with like various pieces of Hot Wheels architecture. Like there's a couple of dragons in there and stuff like that.
There's the
more obligatory stick at
the obligatory sprinkling of dinosaurs. Of course, because it's Hot Wheels, you also have like the fast pads.
That sentence has never been said outside of Jurassic World, I don't think.
Good lord.
The obligatory sprinkling of dinosaurs. You heard it here first, folks. But, yeah. Because
the Velociraptors, a good old sprinkle. Sorry. Do continue.
Anyway. Because it is the Hot Wheels track, and this is all, you know, Hot Wheels centric stuff, obviously. You get things like there are sections of the track that are covered in ice. You get sections of the track that are literally magnetized, so you can drive your car upside down and it sticks to it. Doesn't matter how fast your car is or slow your car is, depending on how you want to define it. There's, of course, the obligatory loop-de-loops. There's the obligatory launch pads. I can't remember.
There's rumble sections, water flumes.
Yeah. It's all just a big bat of fun.
A lot of people have said before that there's been a debate about how silly they are willing to go with some of the Horizon expansions. And I've said many times on the show that my favorite expansion, despite not really being a Hot Wheels fan, like, ever really, I didn't really play with them. Micro Machines were more my thing when I was growing up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the Hot Wheels expansion for Horizon 3 is one of my favorite DLCs that's ever been released for a racing game, because that was so much fun, and it captured the essence of it, and it executed it perfectly. And it should be no surprise, at least in my point of view, that the Horizon 5 version is that, but even better.
Yeah, and
there's more track, there's more cars, there's more stuff to do, it takes longer, and it's still done absolutely perfectly in my mind.
Yeah, and if we're going to be honest here, we're talking about, like, if you're concerned about the silliness of a DLC in a game that literally has you jump a parade float,
you need
to check your priorities there.
That's what I like about Horizon 5, though, is because it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Exactly.
And
it's
a game that you can have fun with. I know that's a shock horror thing in the sim racing world, to, you know, be able to have fun. But you know, Horizon has always been about that, and the Hot Wheels expansion just epitomizes that even further. I could not recommend this more. It's a shame it took a little while for it to come out. Like, the game's been out for over half a year now. It's been a much longer of a wait for the first expansion than we usually have, but it's worth the wait.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And the cars in it as well. I'm quite happy because there are, what was it, 10 cars that have come with this?
Something like that.
And the way that you have to unlock them is that you start off, when you get onto the Hot Wheels section, you start off with the B-class cars, and you can't race the faster A and whatever cars until you finish each section, and then you are given the cars at the start of each section. So there's almost a sort of progression that you don't normally see nowadays. Sorry, it's 15 cars. Yeah, and some of the cars we've got in here, I think we've already said these before, but the Hot Wheels cars that are exclusive to this DLC are the Baja Bone Shaker, the Bad to the Blade, which is mental, the Diora 2, and the Copo Camaro, and then a lot of non-Hot Wheels cars. You've got the Hennessy Venom F5, the Brabham BT62, which is a surprising addition, but a welcome one. The American Rallycross Subaru WRX, which, as a Rallycross fan, I'm delighted about. The Mosler MT900 GT3 and the Schuppen 962CR, which I've no idea what they are.
I'm going to go with this a replica Porsche.
It looks like that, doesn't it? Kinda. But anyway. And just the way you go about unlocking them all is nice to actually have some kind of progression and not just being given all the cars at once, kind of thing.
Do you know what this does make me want to do, though?
What's that?
It makes me want to pick up Hot Wheels Unleashed again.
That's still the surprising thing for me, that they did go ahead and make the Hot Wheels expansion for Horizon when there is a literal Hot Wheels game there.
Yeah. And it's still a very good game.
I think it's a little bit different, though, because the Hot Wheels game is you're playing as a Hot Wheels car. Yeah. This is you're playing on supersized versions of Hot Wheels tracks.
Hmm.
Apart from the Hot Wheels cars that are in it.
Yeah.
His point is that in the game, you're playing as the toy.
Also, you're
playing as life-size replicas of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're similar, but they're not the same, basically.
And I guess it's just covering all the bases as well, because obviously the Hot Wheels game is targeted for people who are absolute diehard fans of Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Whereas there are people like me who will get the Hot Wheels expansion for Horizon 5, not necessarily being a Hot Wheels fan, but one of the things that's available, there's a story section which teaches you about the history of Hot Wheels and stuff like that. And I genuinely, as someone who didn't know a lot of the stuff about it, I found that really quite interesting, and it's one thing that Horizon games have always been able to do, especially this one, is actually give backstory and context to the cars that you're driving or where you're driving, etc. You know, we saw with the whole story mode in the base game about the VW Beetle.
Yeah,
I loved hearing about how widely embraced that car is in Mexico.
Yeah,
and similarly, they've done the kind of educational approach with, you know, teaching us about Hot Wheels, and it was really quite entertaining. I've really enjoyed all of the time I've had with the expansion so far.
The thing, I know this is Playground Games, but Turn 10 used to do that with the expansion. NASCAR, they did it with the Porsche. They did the expansion back, I think, Forza 5, maybe?
Six.
They did that same thing with that, and they had educational stuff. Gran Turismo 7's basically made a whole game about that.
Yeah, and I really like that. I'd almost forgotten about the when it was in Forza, in the Forza Vista mode. I'd like them to bring that back, because that deeper dive into each car is just it's cool. It's a really nice touch for people who care about it.
It absolutely is, and I sort of think it's good that they're doing it, but it depends whether they think their audience is actually going to sort of embrace that, or whether they just put it there for fluff and it kind of gets forgotten, which I hope it isn't. I genuinely think it should be brought back, because I think if you're going to... The thing is, like, as an example, for the Forza Motorsport crowd and the Gran Turismo crowd technically should really be the same kind of people, and if it works really well for Gran Turismo, then it should absolutely work for Forza.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just whether they want to do it. But it's good that they've done that with Hot Wheels. I actually have a whole book about the history of Hot Wheels, which is very, very interesting. I think I've mentioned it on the show before. Totally worth getting if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
as Hot Wheels are more popular on this side of the pond than it is on your guys' side, I really enjoy this because
over here, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoy this because, you know, I had a literal tub of Hot Wheels growing up.
Nice.
Like, it was literally like a 6-foot by 3-foot tub just full of Hot Wheels cars. Yeah.
That's actually a lot. Because bear in mind, they're maybe, what, 2 inches each, give or take. That's a lot of cars.
It was a lot of cars, yeah.
I guess it's similar to the sort of feeling where, because I didn't have Hot Wheels, but when they did the Lego Speed Champions thing for Horizon 4.
Yeah.
It was the feeling of being able to play with the stuff that you have. Like, I have all of those cars, models in real life, and then being able to play them in the game. It's a strange sensation, weirdly. It's awesome.
Yeah, hilariously, I'm also looking around my office right now, and I'm just realizing the sheer amount of Hot Wheels I have around me still.
That's one of those things that stays with you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, there's 3 cars over there on my bookshelf that I'm not going to get up and pick up because, you know, this is radio.
Radio.
You're not going to be able to see this, but there's 3 cars on my bookshelf that I've literally taken as inspiration and used for, like, paints on Forza before, so.
Speaking of cars that are on shelves, guess what has just been dispatched in my general direction?
Can we talk about that on radio?
A range of delicious jams and jellies.
Exotic butters.
You guys don't know me at all, do you? No.
Not really.
No. Seeing as I prefixed this with cars on shelves. No.
Well, it could be any
Lando
car.
Norris Golf McLaren from Monaco.
Ooh.
Lovely.
Is on yes. Right. Very, very happy.
But slightly cheaper than that is this expansion, which you can buy. It's £14.99, which
that's
is
very good.
That's not bad for an expansion.
If you bought the premium edition, it's free.
Yeah.
That's actually cheaper than the track expansion for Assetto Corsa.
It is.
It is, yeah.
By a couple of quid.
And it's as I mentioned, it takes a while to complete as well. It's about 8 hours of content if you want to 100% it, which that's not bad.
No.
So yeah, I would recommend it. It's good.
Sticking with expansions for Forza Horizon 5, gentlemen, in the past, when we talked about Forza Horizon, we've always sort of said, why do they have certain types of motorsport in Forza Horizon 5 when they don't have these certain types of motorsports in Forza Motorsport? Well, finally, they've actually incorporated a certain type of motorsport into Forza Horizon 5, which is absolutely relevant to the type of game that it is.
It really is.
They're bringing Extreme E.
They have brought Extreme
E. We've talked off air, dear listener, about this, and I think we all kind of said...
I would just like to say that I called this.
You did.
Yes, we recognize the fact that you did call this.
Like, October last year called this.
And I also believe I said at that time, I doubt that would happen. But
I remember thinking, don't be so silly, Jordan. This won't last more than one season. And it has.
It makes too much sense for them to do it, but they actually did it.
Yeah. And not only do the cars look spectacular, sound great. They sound bob on. Having watched a video on Nico Rosberg's own channel, like and subscribe, of him driving his car, for the very first getting driven and then driving his car for the very first time at a dirt circuit at the Nürburgring, which I didn't know existed. His reaction, bear in mind he is a Formula One world champion and, you know, dab hand at driving things, was quite something, I have to say.
Yeah,
that video check out is absolutely awesome.
There's also, on a similar note, Super GT was given the opportunity to drive the Veloce Extreme E car last year in a test, and that's a really good video as well, and obviously there's a sim racing link there, so I'd recommend that. But as for the Extreme E cars in Horizon, they arrived on Tuesday, same day as the Hot Wheels expansion, and they're totally free, so you don't have to pay for these. They are just in the game. And the way they have done it is that straight away you're able to buy the Chip Ganassi Extreme E car, and then during the course of the current coming season you'll be able to unlock all the other liveries as you go. So I'm okay with that, because that for once Forza hasn't done the thing of saying, oh, we've got 10 completely new cars to get. They're just liveries. But, you know, being able to unlock them through gameplay, that's fine. So you've got all of the teams
All of a sudden, the Forza Motorsport car count has depleted massively when they suddenly realize that this is the thing.
Ah, but in the car collection screen, they are listed as 10 different. But that's fine, because, whatever. Yeah. At least they aren't marketing it as such. But yeah, so you've got all of the cars. You've got associated driver suits as well, if that's your thing. But as you mentioned, Matt, like, they sound great. They drive as you would expect. They are mental off-road. They will just do anything.
Yeah. I had to keep telling my brain, you don't need the shift. You don't need the shift. No, why did you hit the clutch? You don't need the shift.
You do need to do something that sounds like shift on some of the jumps that they go over. But Nico Rosberg video.
I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I like seeing more and more electric cars in games, is the adapting to be able to drive them. That's why I kind of wish that iRacing would get like Formula E or something like that. Can experience that in a... Because I don't think there's a proper sim that has an officially... there's R-Factor. Never mind.
Which Formula E has an official license with
R-Factor
Race? Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was R-Racer or R-Factor 2. It was one of them.
But yeah, that it's just one of the differences, you know, just telling yourself, I don't have to shift, and there is no noise, but I'm going very, very quickly.
Yes.
But I'm
driving along, that's 115, okay.
I will say the one thing out of the Extreme E partnership with Forza, I do wish they had been able to maybe include a new game mode where it is the same kind of format in some way. You know, you wouldn't even need to make different tracks necessarily, just have the format be, you know, X amount of cars all starting side by side.
Yeah.
You have the branding and everything at the side of the track and stuff like that. So
they
are at least doing a thing where as each season comes through in this coming 4-week stretch, they'll be focusing on a different theme. So like there's the island X-Prix, and they'll be hosting a load of extreme-y stuff in game around the sea. And, you know, they have the ice one, which will be up in the mountains. So they're doing that at least, but it does feel like they could have done a little bit more. But also with how Extreme E is not exactly well known. I think that was why a lot of people had trepidation about whether it would come to Horizon at all, is that it isn't very well known. But that's also why I believe it's happened, is because, you know, Extreme E are trying to market themselves out in a different way. And Horizon's a very well played game.
Extremely.
Need we refer to the records they broke?
Yeah.
But what I will say is Forza does have previous with this, because if you remember, I'm pretty certain they were the first game to have Formula E.
They were indeed, yes.
Yeah.
And Toro ran a semi-official series with them before they did their own.
Yeah, and some guy who, you know, may or may not be a F1 esports champion won it, named Brendan Lee.
And I beat him in one race of that season. Did I finish second or third?
Brendan Lee, does that mean you're actually a Formula One esports champion?
Yes, I believe that is how it works. I believe that is exactly how it works.
I have never beaten Brendan Lee.
I have a DM of him asking me for a setup.
You need to screen grab that and send it to him.
Something went awfully wrong in the Matrix for that to happen.
Yep. The only time I've ever been in front of Brendan Lee is when I was driving the pace car for that series. And doing donuts every instance that I could, because I was bored.
I did enjoy us doing that series. It was a good series. It's a shame we never got the Gen 2 cars or Gen 3 cars.
That was 6 years ago?
Something easily. Like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Turning back off of memory lane for a second here.
Veering.
Yeah, I'm really glad that, I'm really glad that they were able to have this partnership with Horizon. But being that cars from Horizon usually make their way to motorsports, does that mean that we will have some type of Extreme E thing in the next Forza Motorsport?
No.
I don't think, from what we've heard so far of Forza Motorsport, whatever it's going to be called.
It's just Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, I know, I was just making a joke. It seems as though they are finally doing the thing of actually separating out the cars to be in the games that make sense for them to be in. And unless they add like rallycross tracks or something to Forza Motorsport, which I would love, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Then I can't really see why they would add an off-road racing series to it. Maybe, you know, if they continue having Formula E and then maybe have the iPACE trophy, even though that's not really fun anymore.
You're talking about the series that literally has SUVs in a track racing game.
Yeah, and you weren't listening to what I just said then, because it seems as though that's what they're moving away from.
Yeah.
But, if it was still the same approach that they were taking in with the last game, then absolutely, yeah, there'll be Extreme E games. They'll probably be on the bloody cover for all we know. But, no, it seems as though they are mercifully starting to move away from that. And, yeah, hopefully that will mean that Extreme E isn't in this game. But, yeah.
And I veer away ever so slightly from Forza Horizon. We're going to get more sip. So I have some weird singing. It's coming from downstairs. That's okay.
It's the cat.
I was going to say, it's a tank.
The cat's gone from cooking to singing.
Yes.
It sounds like he's doing the hacker.
He's turned on the pornographic.
Can we talk about... So you know how we have a poncho on this show for pointing out pointlessly expensive gear? We quite like it. It's good fun. Well, I think we need to talk about ProDrive again. Who have revealed the first images and price of their new sim rig, designed by Ian Callum, he of Aston Martin and Jaguar fame. I have some questions.
Is it the same similar questions that we have had about the Aston Martin rig and the BMW
well,
one?
Well, at least the Bradham rig actually looked like semi-functional. Over this form.
One, why does this one have a roof?
I don't know.
It's in case you roll. Duh.
Well, I know
you. It's for Jordan Taylor.
I know that you and Jordan Taylor both have instances where you've rolled your cars several times.
It's called Jordan.
It's a Jordan problem, it is.
It's a Jordan problem. Hashtag Jordan problems. Yep.
And yet the yellow ones, as far as I'm aware, never ended up on their roofs. Roll bars. Anyway. Your point, Ben, yes. Sorry.
Did I have one? No, yeah. I know that some people might need roll bars for whenever they're racing on virtually, Jordan. As someone who is as a person of
high stature?
Yeah, that's a good word for it. As someone
set.
Who
that's not fair.
That's the other direction.
Well-rounded.
That's the X-axis, it's not the Y.
Yeah.
Z.
I'm 3D here, people. As someone of advanced height, look at that and I think, I'm not going to fit in there.
No.
And the cockpit itself looks quite snug as well. So, I mean, exclusory, maybe, if that's a word.
Well, I don't think any human could get into that mold. Maybe some, but not many. Because, okay, so it's fitted with a 49-inch AOC 5K curved monitor with 165Hz refresh rate. That's fantastic. Except for because it's a curved screen, the entry access, your ingress into the vehicle. Now, I've tried to get into many BMWs in my time, and I always smash my shins on the console bit, on the pointy bits of the console, because I'm quite tall too.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do you get into that unless you're being airlifted into it? Because you also can't do because it's got a roof.
I'm going to say that someone at ProDrive watched too many reruns of Dukes of Hazzard.
They've managed to build the first rig that you have to pour yourself into like a liquid. I think that's the only solution here. Or you have to simulate a crash in reverse and get cut out of the
roof.
So what
you're saying is that you have to be an X-Men to be able to drive. Okay. Form of water!
Captain Planet.
Never mind.
I love the fact that Dave... we're not taking the Mick ProDrive because we love ProDrive. David Richards said something. I wanted something that married technology with contemporary furniture.
Didn't BMW do the same thing?
Yes, they did look like a table.
I was going to say, I remember making a joke about someone's going to... It has a slant in it, and I remember making the joke that someone's absentmindedly sets their glass down and it just slides off.
Sort of, I hadn't finished. The sort of table that you'd find in the film The Hostel.
That's a reference that none of us understand.
Really? Really?
You know, you're not going to get all like, oh, you should have watched that Le Mans documentary again, are you?
Oh my, The Hostel is a horrible, horrible film. You should never watch it. Something you'll feel far too young. Innocent. Something you've heard on this show, you ain't innocent. Something you'd be proud of to have on display in your home, like a grand piano rather than tucked out of the way.
Because I look at that and I see grand piano.
You know the difference between this and a grand piano? I can sit at a grand piano.
There's no roof on a grand piano.
You know what the similarities between this and a grand piano is?
What?
They're both black.
There you go.
Unless you're at Ribarachi's house, then in that case, the grand piano there is going to be white. But for the most part, grand pianos are this shade of black.
Don't know many grand pianos that have a Simucube 2 Pro direct drive wheelbase built into it. But that would be quite something to have at the Hollywood Bowl,
It's about as expensive as a Simucube 2
piano this with comes force in... feedback. That'd be interesting.
This force feedback. False feedback.
You press a key and it launches you into the ceiling.
Why is this turned into a Dom and Jerry cartoon?
What I will say is that piano, it does have haptic feedback, so, you know.
Oh, there you go.
The ProDrive Racing Simulator is now available directly from ProDrive for £39,000. Sounds quite cheap, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Excluding VAT, duties, and shipping costs. So that makes it, in the UK, currently under current inflation, VAT, about £280 billion.
Something like that, yeah. And it is half the price of the Aston Martin rig that we spoke about last year.
Which is it? Yeah, that is a little bizarre because I have a link to that one. It's this. I mean, that one. This AMR CO1 does at least. I mean, it's bright. I mean, it comes in a range of colours. But the big thing about that one that I like, it at least does not have a roof.
Yeah, so you can actually fit in it.
Yeah.
It does.
Also, yeah, we're talking about rigs that we've talked about in the past, the Brabham rigs from Base Performance also cost less than this, and they also don't have a roof.
No, there you go.
And they actually look like sim rigs.
Yes, and those are made by Base Performance, who we also
love.
Enjoy. Like yes, and that's £24,990 inclusive of VAT.
So, consumer advice, which we are known for on this show, if you have way too much money to spend on a sim rig setup, buy a Brabham one, not a ProDrive one or an Aston Martin one. In fact, for the price of an Aston Martin one, you could get several Brabham ones and then you could race your friends. And that would be a cool setup.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And do you know what else you could do with the Brabham one? You could fit some pedals, as in some cycle pedals, into it, put four wheels onto it, take the screen off, and what you've basically got is a pedal-powered Atom.
How much was the Brabham one again?
It is £25,000. £25,000.
Wow.
Which is cheaper than aerial Atom.
You could get like that.
I reckon that's... What?
Yeah, never mind.
Right, moving on to...
By the way, I just want to point out that
yes,
the Brabham, it's that price. It is actually made of steel instead of birchwood. And it includes all the things that the other one...
No vehicle has any business being made of birchwood unless you are a... I've forgotten the brand. That's really annoying. Morgan?
Yeah, but at least the Simric isn't cross-eyed.
I want to get a new Simric, guys. Why? My other one got termites.
Why have you not brought your GT3 car to the race? Yeah, it's got woodworm.
I had to take it to a carpenter.
What? One difference is, though, it's a hell of a lot lighter than when I bought it.
I had a crash in my sim rig the other day, and I got a splinter. Like, what? Good lord.
Yes, unfortunately, he's been removed from the race for reducing the weight of his vehicle. We found an illegal plane in the boot of the car.
What's this little green bit on your sim rig? Oh, it's moss.
That would look quite nice, actually, if you run some plants up.
Well-weathered.
Speaking of things that will look nice.
Yes.
That was a tenuous one.
That was tenuous.
Time to start our iRacing segment of the show.
Yes.
Yes.
With half an hour to go.
So during the recent, so iRacing ran their special charity event, the Peachtree 3 event, yes. Benefiting the Multiple Sclerosis Society. Yeah.
They raised $55,000?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Again, so that's brilliant. I don't think it's too late to donate either, so go and check out iRacing socials for information on how you can do that. But during this, as of last year as well, they took the opportunity to share some teasers for future content. And one of those is something that we've known is coming, but now we kind of have a confirmed date of when it's coming on, when it's going to be coming. And that is an updated Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And you guys know I'm delighted about this because I love Indianapolis, and it's very Indianapolis at the moment, considering it's just arrived to Assetto Corsa Competizione. But yeah, this will be finally the updated road course, which IndyCar has been using since about 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So that's long overdue. But also, they have updated the speedway itself. So the oval is now all nice and shiny, and it's got the new shaders and everything. So that's going to be nice. And also, if you're an eagle-eyed viewer of the scan data that they showed on the stream, you will see that they have scanned the new infield dirt track.
Yes, I
just
heard about
turn
that.
Three. So that's really cool. I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis. We also, they kind of gave us a rough estimate of when we might be getting it. They're aiming to get the track out before the IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader race weekend, which is at the end of this month, so 30th of July.
Next weekend.
So within the next 9 days or so, we should be getting this.
Yep. And I'm for all excited. We know, for all we know, they could have released it before this actually airs. So
it would be very them to do that. Yes.
Yes.
So, I really hope that this is going to end up being a free update for those who already own the circuit.
It will be same as what they did for Watkins Glen and Atlanta as well. Yeah. So hooray. Because it's going to be complete. It's not like because it's completely replacing it. It will be completely free. So
yeah, I'm assuming that we're going to get all of the, because it's Indy and they has like six or seven different layouts. We're going to get all six or seven.
Well, again, if you look at the scanned data, the illuminated areas are the bits that they have scanned.
Yeah.
So the old Grand Prix loop is still scanned.
The old Grand Prix loop is still there, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll still have all of the various layouts. And considering as we've discovered with ACC, the GT series uses the old layout, or a version of the old layout, incorporates that first loop. And
there's
other series that do it in reverse with the bike layout. So there's a rhyme and a reason for them to keep them in and use them. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Specifically, I wonder if they are going to include that version that GT World Challenge America uses.
I'm sure they will. Because a high profile series like that uses it. I'm sure they'll include that. Whether they'll include the reverse bike layout, because you know, we don't have bikes on iRacing. I don't know. But they have used the bike layout the bike layout is available on the current version of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see. But that's exciting. One of the other things they have announced, or gave more information about, is rain.
Yes. So, obviously, this is something that's going to take a while, because we know that iRacing doesn't do anything halfway, and that when they say they're going to do something, even if it is on April Fool's Day, they're going to do it. Much like we saw with the dirt oval content, which it still tickles me that they said that on April Fool's Day and they still did it anyway. So we got some more screenshots of what they've been working on, trying to get it to work. Obviously, like I said, it's going to take time. They don't want to roll it out so that it's only like, only these five tracks have rain. And there's been speculation about how iRacing users are going to be able to like tailor it to their private events and things like that. So that's all got to be addressed for whenever they roll this out. Something I really thought was interesting is that whenever you load into a track on iRacing, there's this panel on the left-hand side of your screen that gives you all the info about the track, like its temperature, the current time, the state of the track, all of that fun stuff. And as part of the screenshots that we were shown during the Peachtree event was that there's now a giant weather radar included in that, so you can see if the rain's going to be coming in.
That's good. I'll tell you what, for particularly if you're doing in endurance events and you've got a human physical person doing race management for you, watching that radar and stuff is going to be absolutely crucial and adds such an awesome element.
That's exactly what I was going to say, actually, because I've seen how other games handle rain, and the Gran Turismo method of having a radar that you yourself can see that updates is cool, but it's not exactly realistic because you're not going to have that a radar that you, the driver, can look at. So having it relayed to you by a team member, that's really cool. I really like that touch.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that, they pretty much have said that it's going to be fully dynamic too. So you're never, like, I'm assuming there's going to be a system where it's like there's a 60% chance the rain will occur at this point in the race, or it might just start raining randomly. You had no idea it was coming, and other things like that. Like, we've seen how other titles have, like, addressed this thing. Like, I'll just use Forza's example because we've talked a lot about Forza today. Where the old system that they're probably not going to be keeping for the next title, I imagine, since they've said that all the tracks will have rain, is that you literally have to pick a rain state for the track, and then you can set, like, percentages of, like, at 20% of the race, it starts doing this, 50% of the race starts doing this, 75% of the race starts doing this, that kind of thing. But I'm assuming that given that it's iRacing, and given that it doesn't really work that way in real life, it's going to be slightly different.
I'll tell you what, Spa 24 Hours is going to be a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. Well,
we've joked often in the endurance races that we've entered so far this year that the best way that they could implement rain is not tell us it's coming and then have it hit in the middle of a race.
Yeah.
That would be utter chaos, and I'm here for it.
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of one last thing that came out during the charity races was, and this is only a brief one because we don't know too much about it, is that Greg Hill announced a practice feature that's going to be coming called Active Reset.
Oh yeah,
essentially what this will do is that when you are in a practice session, if you make a mistake, you can, it's almost functions like a flashback system. So you can just pop back and do that section again. Obviously only for practice, because it wouldn't work in real racing at all. But I'm similarly both excited and nervous about this, because when it comes to learning tracks, that's going to be really useful for new players. You know, they could, rather than have to do an entire lap, they can focus on one section at a time. However, the way that pro drivers are going to use this, like running the same corner thousands and thousands of times until they nail it absolutely perfectly,
yeah,
the sweat would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it is, I guess it's a cool thing, because, like, we've often spoken about the frustrations of iRacing, which is a more serious sim.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are still people who are learning how it works and stuff like that. So implementing a method of which to allow newer players to more readily focus on stuff and you know, not have to keep resetting to a pit lane.
Yeah.
Generally, I would say this is a good idea.
Yeah. And it's all about how people learn. Like, some people, they're going to learn a track better by doing the whole track multiple times, picking up rhythms, things like that. Mm. Or sometimes you just need to focus on one corner and figure that out before you feel like you can move on.
Yeah, I mean, look at us with our Spa practice. You know, there have been a couple of us who have found difficulties with the final chicane. And Spa being such a long track, you know, it you have to go all the way around and then keep going to just practice that one section again. So
Yeah, and then you also have to remember all the other corners that you got to do before you get to that point, because like me in particular with that last chicane, by the time I get back around to it, I've forgotten what mental note I've made to be able to adjust my line, and it's like, oh, what did I do? Oh, and now I'm in the pit wall. Nice.
But yes, I think that's a cool idea. We've got no idea of when this is coming.
Yeah.
But
Greg say something along the lines of probably later this year?
Yeah, so that could be either September when the next build is, or it could even
or
be December. So who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah.
We'll probably get rain at iRacing before we get the Thrustmaster DD wheel anyway. So
that's basically not a hard hurdle.
Yeah, I know.
One thing that we also will probably get before we get the Thrustmaster DD wheel is and our final piece of
before you do that, I did just look, you can, as of recording, still donate.
Oh, cool. Excellent. On over to we'll tweet out the link and everything, and head over to iRacing socials as well. But other iRacing news, this is quite interesting. So we've had in the past, you know, real world things go into sim racing. That's quite a common progression. Yeah. However, we very rarely get sim racing things that go into real world. You know, we've just started seeing drivers do that more and more regularly, but never have we had a track.
Yeah.
Until now. You guys might remember last year, NASCAR partnered with iRacing to produce a Chicago. Yeah. A street circuit in Chicago that is based on real world data. Like, the streets actually existed, all the surroundings were all accurate, but it was always deemed as a proposal for what they could do potentially in the future. And depending on which side of the coin you land with this, NASCAR announced that the Chicago street race will be happening on the 4th of July weekend in 2023. So the 1st and 2nd of July. And what's more, it will be using the exact layout that was proposed in iRacing. So it's a 12-turn, mostly comprising of 90-degree left and right handers with one kink at turn 3 and a weird kind of semicircle-shaped corner of 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah. Okay. All right. NASCAR, you're welcome to do this. This is fine. But did you have to change the schedule so that your series doesn't go to Road America anymore?
Well, the idea obviously is that Chicago is in very close proximity to Road America, so they don't want to siphon off the amount of people who would go to one and not the other.
Yes, but why are you taking it from a track that's widely regarded as one of the best ones in the world and going to a street course that frankly has had a lot of not positive reviews?
Well, their theory is this is proper. with the LA Coliseum, it was about bringing the race to the people, and you know, there was a market in LA, and I'll get onto, I know what your immediate protestation is going to be, I will get onto that. There was a market in LA, and they didn't really have too many places that they could go necessarily, so they went to the LA Coliseum, and that was a success. Whether you liked the product, it was a success. It was a really well attended event. I'm not necessarily sure that the Chicago area has a really big market for NASCAR. We've already seen Chicagoland go down the pan.
Yeah,
and I guess the only reason this race is going to be massively attended, at least in its first year, is due to the curiosity, and you know, it's right on their doorstep. And yeah, like, as you said, like, getting rid of one of the best natural racetracks in the world and then going to Chicago is a bit of a kick in the teeth. But, you know, I can understand why they're doing that. You know, NASCAR is in a period where they are trying lots of new things to try and bring in new fans. And to their credit, a lot of them have worked. Whether this will, I don't know. Like, it's a very simple, boring-looking racetrack. However, with what we know about what NASCAR aim for, which is more of the entertainment side, it's probably going to produce the exact kind of racing that they want. Dive bombs, paint rubbing and all of that. You know, it's going to produce that. The interesting thing for me of this whole announcement was IMSA, because they're going to be taking IMSA to the Chicago street circuit. We know that they've already said that the GTP cars are going to be going, so that would naturally suggest that it's going to be the IMSA Sports Car Championship and not Michelin Pilot.
Yeah,
but or, where on earth are they getting away to take around here for a multi-class race?
Yeah, or what's the VP Racing Fuels? I don't remember the actual full name of the L1B3 GT4 series at the moment, but it is a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, so I can't really see what's going to happen there, but
yeah, I mean, yeah. If they wanted the street course, they could have gone to freaking Long Beach. That's right near the LA target market that they were going for. All the other series that we know NASCAR works with, you know, IMSA, obviously, IMSA goes there. Obviously, NASCAR and Indy are doing that weekend at Indianapolis, so you can do Long Beach there at the same time. It's just...
Long Beach would have been my bet as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've seen that they have the capacity to hold a lot of major events in that one weekend because, as you mentioned, you got IMSA, you got IndyCar, you got Formula Drift.
Yeah.
Long Beach would have been mine, and we would have known absolutely that there is a market in California for it. We don't know about the market in Chicago because we saw what happens with Chicagoland. So,
yeah, and Indy is only probably less than 4 miles from Chicago as well. So, it's not like Chicago is 4 hours. Sorry,
yeah, I was going to say home.
Yeah, sorry, but it's not like Chicago is, it's not like Chicago isn't spoiled for choice in that part of the world, because you have got Indy, Road America, Mid-Ohio probably is not that far away either.
I guess just to close on this and to bring it back to sim racing again, the one cool thing to come out of this is the fact that it was a track that was developed in partnership with iRacing that has now gone to the real world. And that's really cool. Like, we've continued to see how the iRacing and NASCAR partnership isn't just a license exchange. We've seen iRacing actively involved with the reconfiguration of Atlanta, with the complete refurbishment and rebuilding of Auto Club. You know, the fact that they are working so closely together and it's producing results that do work in the real world, that's really cool. And that's just yet another piece of evidence to show that sim racing really does have a place to benefit and accompany real world racing, or full metal racing, as Hindy likes to keep putting it. And I like that term.
Yeah.
The final piece of iRacing could be iRacing related, might not could, be yeah. iRacing. Is, this came out during the Toronto IndyCar race weekend, which has just gone.
Yeah.
It
was specifically during the Pitney NASCAR series. Yeah.
Yes. During that race, they announced that at the end of one of the race days, the track was going to be scanned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could go one of two ways. Everyone's immediate thought was iRacing, because people in America there's going to be a scan of a track, and they think it's going to be iRacing. However,
iRacing is very popular, like, because of its exposure with IndyCar and IMSA and NASCAR during the pandemic. That's what, like, those markets instantly think about whenever they think about sim racing. However, as Jordan was about to allude to, this is an IndyCar track, so is this something that Motorsports Games is going to be using for the IndyCar game? Jordan?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awkward silence there for a second.
Well, never mind. Toronto, you know, it's it could go either way. It's obviously IndyCar is both represented in iRacing and in obviously the IndyCar game. What we haven't really heard too much about what level Motorsport Games are going to with regards to procuring all of the layouts. And it would make sense, obviously, that they're going to laser scan a lot of them, because it's made by Studio 397 and they laser scan all of their tracks. However, you know, there's been all of this talk about the financial situation of Motorsport Games, whether they have the facilities to do that. And of course, there is also the third option, that this is just scanned by a general company and both could end up with it.
Yeah, which I think is probably the most likely option.
Yeah. The one thing we've yet to see, really, with regards to the IndyCar license, is how because IndyCar and iRacing have worked quite closely together in the past. I mean, look at how quickly we got the aeroscreen version of the IR18. It was very fast. Yes, expedited by the pandemic that was happening at the time, but nevertheless. One thing we've yet to see is whether the upcoming IndyCar game will perhaps make that partnership a little less fast. You know, we saw how long Long Beach took, and that was whilst they were partnered. It would be great to get Toronto on iRacing to continue to flesh out the schedule, because there aren't many tracks left. There's only St. Pete, Toronto, if it happens, and a couple of others that I'm blanking on at this current moment, that aren't already in the game. So, yeah, I guess it would be interesting to see where this scan ends up. But if you're a Canadian motorsport fan, at least you know in a couple of years or so, or maybe less, there will be a version of Toronto out there to drive somewhere.
Yay!
And that's always cool.
Yeah. I had a thought, but I'm going to save it for another time.
We'll keep that content for next week's show, Ben.
Yeah. knowing our record, this is going to get released in iRacing next week.
moving back to the UK, just very quickly, we have news coming out from one of our other titles that I don't think any of us really play as much as it really deserves. Race Room announcing that Donington Park is coming. Now, this is the weird thing, because I genuinely thought Donington Park was already in it. Obviously it wasn't. But this will be an up-to-date scan version of it, which will bring it into the title to the level of as it actually exists in the likes of Assetto Corsa and R Factor 2. It is in iRacing, but iRacing desperately needs a rescan because quite a bit's changed at the circuit since it was added. So that's coming soon. And with it being Race Room, it'll be a fantastic quality circuit at not a very huge amount of money either. So that'd be exciting. We're quite looking forward to that. It'd be nice running some DTM cars around Donington Park, actually, I think. And then I've just watched the trailer. I've literally just watched the announcement trailer for this, and I'm like, okay. NHRA Racing for All.
Yes, this is something we've talked about on this show before.
Be quick, because it's over. We have three minutes of the show left.
It's being developed by Game Mill Entertainment, which is a company that I've never really heard of before. Some of the things that they've been saying about this game has been really positive about how they're having licensed drivers and that they're going to have five NHRA classes, and they're going to have licensed tracks like Bristol Dragway, the Strip of Las Vegas, the Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park, Auto Club Raceway, Pomona, and several others. And they've also talked about how they're going to have online leaderboards, crossplay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't until we actually got a look at the game, like we did in the announcement trailer, that I'm concerned. I'm just going to say that now. Like, if your trailer needs to have giant letters that tells you to be excited for this game, yikes.
Well, I mean, the fact that the little details, like there are no manufacturers in the game.
Yeah, I was getting to that.
The start lines and finish lines aren't in the right position.
Yeah, I've when we talked about this on the show previously, I literally said, I wonder how they're going to handle the manufacturer license. Well, it turns out they decided to not handle the manufacturer license.
You don't have to worry about licenses if we don't have any. Oh, good. Yes. Great.
Yeah, they've gone the route of having nondescript discount versions of famous production cars, like the one screenshot that I've seen. It's clearly a Dodge Challenger, but it's not a Dodge Challenger. So, obviously, we're still a month out from this game's release, so we'll see how bad it is. And if I'm actually going to buy it for $60, which I highly doubt at this point.
I don't think you will.
Yeah.
And in the last 60 seconds of the show, we have the esports roundup of the week brought to you by thegamingathlete.co.uk. head over to thegamingathlete.co.uk to learn more how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.co.uk.
Yes, mercifully it's a short one, this one. Yeah. Round 12 of the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series took place at Pocono on Tuesday night. And the race basically came down to just utter chaos at the end. There were 3 out of 3 green-white checkered attempts, and the final of which produced probably one of the most exciting moments in series history. Zach Novak was leading the way on the final lap, and at the final corner, he came under assault from Casey Kerwin. And the pair went from the mid-corner of turn 3 back to the checkered flag, constantly slamming off the side of each other. It was very reminiscent of Kurt Busch and who was the guy he had the famous fight with. Never mind. It'll come to me. Slamming off each other. They were hitting the outside wall. Kerwin somehow, in all of the contact, managed to just edge ahead by 0.006 seconds to beat Novak to the line. One of the closest finishes in series history. Keegan Leahy, Donovan Strauss, and Derek Bordeaux would complete the top 5. Next time, they won't actually be racing for points in the Coca-Cola Racing Series. They'll be having an all-star race, and that all-star race will be happening on the streets of Chicago. Callbacks. And that'll be on August 2nd.
Yes. I should have guessed this. It was Logano.
No, I'm not thinking of that one. It was Kurt Busch. You're not thinking of that one? No, it was Ricky Craven. It's just coming to my head.
Anyway, while 2003. While the American continue to argue amongst themselves about NASCAR stuff on the UK show, we will bid you.
Is there even a US and UK show anymore? Let's be honest.
We will bid you adieu. Have a fantastic week, everyone. I'm off to climb into an ice bath because, golly gosh, it's exceptionally warm still. Have a lovely week. See you soon. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.